I just paused. Sorry, the dogs.
Jeez. Oh, this is a first. Brilliant. We're keeping this in. No apologies. Here. Don't apologize. Apologies. What's the dog called?
It's always at the time, isn't it?
What's the dog called?
Calvin.
Calvin the dog. I love it.
This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Hello again and welcome to the Referee's World podcast, which offers education and training for football referees of all levels. You can now listen to our weekly podcast every Friday from 5 p.m. by subscribing on the website refereesworld.co.uk. You could search all the major podcasting platforms and you can now subscribe to the Referee's World podcast YouTube channel as well. My name's Darren Cullum. I'm a level 5 referee affiliated with Somerset FA. And this is PGMOL... here we go again. PGMOL Observer and South West Pool Observer Coordinator Richard Mellon. And I always mess it up, Rich. I know I do. Anyway,
it's a nice challenge for you, Darren. And the YouTube channel that we've got is up and running, I understand.
Yeah, so we've been loading up all the episodes of the Referees World podcast. Slowly, I hasten to add, onto YouTube now. So any subscribes, any likes, any shares that you can get, that would be very, very useful. Right, okay, let's crack straight on. We've had some fantastic guests in all areas of refereeing over the last few episodes, and we continue that theme with another fantastic guest, Rich.
Yeah, I know our referee guest from about 10 years ago. We were reminiscing a little bit before we've come on air. So can I introduce Ryan Atkin? Ryan, welcome to Referees World podcast.
Hi, gents. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. Thank you very much for taking time out to speak to us. Now, we specifically wanted to speak to Ryan because February 2021 was LGBGT month, and Ryan is the first openly gay referee, and we thought it would be great for Ryan to come on air and just talk to us and share the challenges that he faces as somebody who is openly gay, particularly in an environment such as football. So Ryan, thank you very much for doing that for us. First of all, Ryan, just tell us a bit about yourself, about your background, about how you got into refereeing.
Yeah, so originally from Plymouth, if you don't recognise the twang, now living in London. I grew up with my family. My family have always been sport orientated. My dad used to box and play rugby. My brother is a keen footballer. But my granddad used to play football when he was young, growing up in Plymouth, and then went on to work in the dockyard and things. But I did a course back when I was 14, coming on 15, and did the course. And it was actually my granddad who used to drive me to all of my fixtures on a Saturday and Sunday. And that was come rain or shine. And he would even pick up the flag and run the line.
Good on him.
Yeah, when I was doing the Devon Junior Minor League in Plymouth, you know, you turn up to a game and, you know, you never get a lot of volunteers to run the line because they know how hard the job is to officiate. I did that for many years, going through the promotion system at the time, refereeing on the, I think it was a Devon Firewatch League, it was called at the time, as a level 4. I then moved to London, where I was promoted to a level 3. And then subsequently was at level 3 for a couple of seasons before being promoted to what is now known as sort of 2B, also operating on the English Football League as an assistant referee in the Championship Leagues 1 and 2 for about 5 or 6 seasons before I decided, or we had to make the decision, should I say, to decide on whether I was going to be a specialist assistant or take the referee track. And it was a hard decision, actually. Mm. Really, really enjoyed being an assistant referee on the Football League, you know, walking out, you know, 20, 30,000 individuals in a stadium, the buzz, the professionalism, and sort of having to decide whether I wanted to sort of take up the career as an assistant referee and just referee at local park football, or whether I was to give up sort of professional football, but in the long term have the goal of making my own journey as a referee onto the Football League. So I made a really hard decision to sort of give up being an assistant referee and sort of plugged away at honing my skill as a referee, learning constantly. And sometimes that's a painful process, especially as we move into sort of modern technology and the fact that video capturing system. You know, it's never good when you look at your own mistakes.
But that is one of the best ways of learning, isn't it?
It is. And it can be very painful. It can be very, very embarrassing. But ultimately, you know, we make the decision as you know, hopefully honest individuals and is, you know, people with integrity. And that is the only way that we can all learn to identify, you know, how we came to our decision-making process, what was happening at the time, and what was the outcome. And ultimately, media, social media, video can support us in that.
Ryan, you made the tough decision between assistant refereeing and refereeing. How do you deal with disappointment?
It's really, you know what? It's really, really difficult. Well, I remember being, when I was on the Football League, I was doing well, you know, I was getting regular Championship League games on the EFL. And at the time, you would have like a talent pool, and I was being looked at potentially. There was a group of assistant referees, and if you were doing well at the time, you were being looked at to potentially be promoted onto the Premier League. And I did a game at Portsmouth with Roger East, actually. I think it was Roger East. Yeah, it was. And I was on the far side to the benches. And at the time, the head of the assistant referee for the Premier League was also watching the game to see how I was performing. And my assistant referee coach was there. A decision happened right in front of me. The flag went up naturally. The flag agitation was selling it as a red card. But for whatever reason, the nerves kicked in. And I remember saying to Roger, I think I said yellow card at the time. Within a split second, I was screaming down the mic to Roger, no, I f***ed it up, it's red all day. And to be fair, after the game, Roger said, your flag said red, I was always going red anyway, don't worry about it, pal. But, you know, we had an honest debrief, and I sat there and I said to the observer at the time and the manager of the assistant referees was there. And I said, you know, at the time I said yellow, and I quickly corrected myself. And, you know, I was thankful for my honesty and things, but ultimately, you know, that didn't do me well for that season, being promoted onto the Premier League as an assistant referee. But there is slight disappointment, but ultimately, as long as you work hard and dig deep and make improvements to your game, that's what's going to get you promoted.
Dealing with disappointment, it's in every referee's career, that's fair to say, because we all have kickbacks. Where would you look at yourself, hopefully in a year's time from now?
I would hope that, taking into account next season, the experience that I've gained over the last two seasons, this season being slightly different with COVID and the stop start of the season and everything that's taken place. And I think that's across the board for everybody who's operating sort of within professional football and grassroots. I'd hope to see myself performing consistently well. You will know, Richard, obviously, as part of being a 2A referee, you know, all your decisions are looked at on the camera, and rightly so, and you're judged by your key match decisions. And, you know, my hope would be to be getting, you know, 99.9% of those right.
Good luck in that one. Good luck. I know the scrutiny is tough, and you know, as you've highlighted, you're determined to get there. Like I say, with that determination, hopefully you are successful. So all the best for that.
So let me just pick up here, Ryan. How old are you now? Do you mind me asking?
I'm 36 now.
Oh, you got years to go, mate. You'll be fine.
Don't feel it.
Ryan, yeah. Can I ask you, how old were you when you decided that you were going to come out as being gay, just in normal life?
It was something I struggled with in the early years. I moved to London in my early 20s. And at the time, friends in London knew about my sexuality because I'd been open and honest. And, you know, I was going out drinking with friends, both heterosexual and part of the gay community. And I sort of had sort of three different lives. I had the life in London outside of football. I then had my football life. And then I also had my life back in Plymouth. And I was living three different lives in some ways. And, you know, I'd often go back to Plymouth, sort of see family and friends, and it would never come up, or I wouldn't necessarily tell the truth about what I was up to, ultimately my decision at the time. Or if I was going to football, the conversations, you know, weren't there. And it wasn't to say it wasn't an inclusive environment, but, you know, I think times are changing and people are more open and adaptive to difference and change. I think we're all exposed to difference and change. And I don't think that's just about protected characteristics. I think one of the best things I love about football, whether you're on the pitch or whether you're sat in the stadium, is that you can look left and right and everybody is different, whether you're tall, short, fat, thin, muscly, mm-hmm. losing your hair, got hair. You know, we're all different. And that's the key element about football. It brings people together under one sort of roof or in one stadium for the love of the game. It was only when in 2017 when I decided, after I'd been demoted from being a 2B referee to level 3, because I had had a poor season and I was rightly demoted, and we talked about earlier about disappointment, there was no one more disappointed than myself that I'd let myself down. But it was at a time where I had fallen out of love with football. My personal life was sort of impacting both in football, but football was impacting on my personal life. And, you know, you will all know that football can be very, very demanding. You know, you're talking Boxing Day, New Year's Day. Mm-hmm. You know, you feel like you're sometimes working a 7 or 8 day week. And one of the best things I've learned in the last few years is actually taking holidays during the season and having a break and not missing weddings or parties because I've got a football game. There's certain elements of our life, family and friends that need to come first. And at the time, I think I was putting everything into football, but sort of regretting it in some ways when I was missing certain elements of my personal life. And that impacted on my game. And I was having a poor season. I put on weight. I wasn't training. I blamed everybody but myself. And I got rightly demoted. And when I sort of had a look at myself, and at the time I spoke to my friends and I spoke to a good friend of mine, Trevor Simpson, up in Yorkshire, and my granddad, sort of put some things in place, worked hard, and got promoted back to 2B. And it was at that point I decided that I wasn't going to allow my sexuality to impact in football. There'd been a lot of work done around rainbow laces at the time, and discussions were early on, and I could see some of the real positive work that was being done in football to drive change and to make it sort of accepting and inclusive of all. And ultimately that led to my decision back on the 10th of August in 2017.
Well done. That goes to prove that, you know, that tough skin that a referee needs is there for all of us. And in particular, in your case, definitely there, because you've returned to 2B. Perhaps, okay, getting demoted to level 3, you knew the score, you knew what to do, you knew how to do it. You had to get out there and still do it, though, didn't you? You had to prove to people you knew what you were doing. And that's what our refereeing colleagues need to understand.
Yeah, very much so. It's, you know, it can be difficult. And You have to apply everything you can into fixtures and into games that you're turning up for. And are you really prepared? You know, are you at your peak physical performance? Are you watching and attending as many training seminars as you can? Are you on the correct diet? Because if you want it bad enough, then you will make those changes in life. And that's not to say you can't have a drink. It is not to say you can't go out with friends. But it's just about that planning, and it's about putting everything into the game to get the most rewards out of it. And there will be disappointments, and no assessment system has ever been right. And that goes back to, you know, even when Richard was refereeing, there's no assessment scheme that is right or what people deem to be fair or consistent. But you've got to work within the parameters that is set from season to season, and everybody is getting treated the same, and you've got to go out and do your best. And I do believe that the people that are the best will get promoted.
Yeah, so just going back to when you made the decision back in 2017, at this point, were your family, your close family, your mum, your dad, were they aware, or did you have to tell them all at the same time? And the other thing as well, because you were describing right at the start of the interview, the fact that you've got a very sporting family, quite a masculine in approach in terms of the work that they do, in terms of the sporting attitudes. Did that sort of put you into a cocoon shell, if you like, to sort of stay quiet?
Not really. I think I put additional pressure on myself. Mm. My dad and my brother, my dad's now retired, but they both worked in the Navy. Both are bomb disposal divers in the Navy, which is what my brother currently does. actually their response was really, really positive. And I think I put a lot of pressure on myself. And that's not to say that other individuals, and I came out, you know, sort of my mid-20s to my family. So a few years before I came out publicly within football. But, you know, unfortunately, a lot of younger individuals, you know, teenagers or young people don't have the same experiences, and, you know, they lose their homes, and, you know, life can be very, very difficult because they choose to tell their parents. But not only from my parents, but from my friends at the time. And that was really, really important to me. And I think that certainly supported my decision when I decided to come out publicly.
Okay, so let's talk about being gay in a sport like football. And you're open about it and you're shouting loudly about it as well, which is great to see. Tell us about some of the situations you've encountered once you first made it public that you were openly gay.
I think foremost, I'm a referee. I'm not a gay referee. I'm a referee who just happens to be gay. And that's the key element. And, you know,
Very well said. Brilliant.
Totally, absolutely.
Nobody wants to be treated differently. And that is the key element. And it's not about being treated differently. It's about people being able to be their authentic selves, have those banter conversations in the changing room. But for me to be able to have some banter about being honest in and who I am as a person, because that's how a team of official works. And without that honesty, you are always holding something back. And that 1% difference makes all the difference in a game, you know, and whether you're an athlete who's, you know, on a track, or whether you're playing football, whether you're refereeing, when you cannot be your authentic self, when you're trying to lead a team of 22 players, or you're leading your team of match officials, your personality, your leadership skills, your communication needs to be authentic. And there's nothing worse when you're having to think about what you're saying to your colleagues or to players, when you're getting quick, witty remarks on the field, and a bit of joking, a bit of banter can sometimes calm a situation, and they say something, you think, oh, can I say that? Am I going to sort of impeach myself or come out publicly by saying something? And sometimes you need to have that quick wittiness about you to diffuse some situations on the field of play. My recollection of 2017 has been really, really positive. However, I look back at my refereeing career, and sadly, and even for myself, I have heard homophobic comments on the football field, and I've not taken action. And that is me now as an openly gay man.
Are you annoyed now, looking back, are you annoyed that you didn't that you didn't deal with those comments at the time?
I just paused. Sorry, the dogs.
Oh, this is a first. Brilliant. We're keeping this
in.
No
apologies.
Here. Don't apologise.
Apologies.
What's the dog called?
It's always at the time, isn't it?
What's the dog called?
Calvin.
Calvin the dog. I love it.
As referees, we are there to protect the game and protect players. And ultimately, I failed in my duty on that day because I chose not to take action against a word that I knew was offensive and discriminatory. Now, when I talk to people about this, and they say, well, you know, of course you would send someone off. And it's easy when it's racism, because everybody understands certain words and certain language that has been deemed in society to be, you know, not appropriate and was never appropriate, you know. And if, you know, for example, the N-word, if that was to be used on a football field, I would, you know, hope that 99.9% of my colleagues would recognise that word and show a red card for that offence. But I don't think the same is said against other words that are used that are derogatory or insulting towards individuals who are LGBTQ+. You know, and some of those words are things like queer or faggot. And if they're said in a situation which you know that they're being used to be insulting, I would hope now that, yes, I would take action. And we, you know, we've had a recent game where a referee did send a player off for using that language. And, you know, and it's really heartwarming to see that actually people are understanding language and are taking the same action as they would take to racism.
Did you find at any point after you had come out that players, officials alike that knew that you were gay and openly gay, and because you shared that close proximity in a change room, for example, did you feel that people were treating you differently in any way?
Not at all. One of the best things that I've found is that I haven't received positive discrimination, and that's credit to, you know, all my colleagues that I operate with, you know, within the professional game, all the teams that I referee. And that is what I mean by I'm a referee. I'm not a gay referee. I do not look for any bump ups or easy wins or anything like that. I should be treated exactly the same. But it is a credit to everybody that we work with in the professional game, because everybody who is operating within the PGMOL or at the high levels of the FA have worked extremely hard to get there. And, you know, it's credit to them for the hard work that they've put in to get where they are. And I don't think they would jeopardize their career for making silly comments. But what it has done is actually strengthened my relationships with other match officials, you know, where we can have open conversations and we can have, you know, some banter, and, you know, it's all friendly and it's all polite. And it really does help that sort of team, that teamworking that you really need on the day when you're working with three other match officials.
Your attitude and your comments are inspirational, Ryan. Thank you very much for being so honest.
There's going to be quite a few people listening to this who have probably kept themselves quiet about their sexuality, and on hearing an interview like this are going to think, actually, you know, I can do this and I can go out and make myself a better person, a better referee. Yeah. And your comments, your feedback on some of this is very useful, I think it's fair to say, and enlightening as well, Rich, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to have the conversation openly like this, and we haven't even released the podcast, it's so educational. And I think that's an important part of this, because we can go around the houses talking about different things that we don't want in football. And this is particularly one of those that we don't want in football. We don't want this type of discrimination. We need to remove it as quickly as we can, but it isn't going to be an overnight situation. So, you know, the more we keep pushing this and say, this is not acceptable, and our referees need to be taking action out on the field of play. If they hear certain words that are used, they must take the right action you know, let's move on. Let's deal with this.
Yeah, thank you very much, gents, for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
No worries, Ryan. Listen, it's been great talking to you. Before you go, is there anything else you'd like to mention? Any websites or stuff that you would like to, or advice even to any young referees that are coming up through the system now that are struggling with how they should move forward with their sexuality?
So for me, a couple of things. The online social media platforms that we've just literally launched last week. The handles for both Instagram and Twitter are FA_PGMOL. And, you know, we are looking for match officials to use the social media channels in a positive manner. We're not talking about on-field decisions. We're staying well clear of that. But this is about training. This is about development. This is about sharing experiences and the positivity and all the stuff that goes behind the 90 minutes on the field of play. But ultimately, any official that may be struggling with their sexuality, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter. There's some fantastic charities out there like Stonewall, Football Versus Homophobia, who are all private and confidential. Just pick up the phone, drop me an email, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or message those charities. And, you know, just ask questions and, you know, so we will help where we can.
Right. Okay. And Ryan, thank you so much for being our guest on the Referees World podcast.
Cheers, gents.
The download is complete.
This is Referees World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.